Alrighty, gang, welcome to the podcast. So I think this is our 69th episode, and I'm super excited for this one. And we are going to be introducing a new coach here. He's been on the podcast, I think, about half a dozen times, David Ulmer. So Dave's joining us. You're going to be seeing him around more and more. In about a week and a half, he's going to be coaching here full time. I'm super stoked for this. You're also, what's cool, and we'll dive into this a little later in it, you're going to see him on a lot of the podcasts. So Dave's going to be joining me and partnering on these podcasts. And I was already doing that with him, you know, when he wasn't even working here. And so now we're going to get to have him on the podcast as well. So I'm super pumped. And if you've listened to old ones, he's probably gone over his background a little bit, but I think I'll let Dave kind of just introduce himself, like, give us a little background on who you are, where you're from, your experience training and things like that. And yeah, just let the whole gang like know who you are.
Yeah. So I moved to Columbus in 2008-ish, later in the year. But I originally grew up in upstate New York, outside of Rochester. So youngest of four, have an older brother, two sisters, and kind of normal childhood. I grew up playing lots of sports, doing different things. Through, you know, high school, played basketball, lacrosse, football, had some pretty good success with football. So I ended up attending Bucknell University in Pennsylvania to play college. So I did that for 4 years, was a major in studio art. So I've always had that kind of, those two kind of loves in my life and passions. I've always been, you know, the arts and being creative and just athletics and training.
It's kind of a yin and yang.
Yeah, you know, it's... Not saying like it's unheard of, but yeah,
sure.
It was definitely, I don't think a lot of people, definitely I was the only art major on my team in college, you know what I mean? And so, No, I just, it was always two things that, you know, I don't think, it's not too far apart, but I just always kind of really into competing really hard, training, you know, hard, and also had this kind of really sensitive side of me that always liked being creative and in finding ways to, you know, work with my hands and make things like that. Yeah. So, you know, after college, we kind of talked about this before, you know, a lot of times this was 2005 and it was right around the time CrossFit is in its early stages. And what was the games? The first year was 06 or 07, maybe?
Seven.
Yeah. So I think literally right around that time, a buddy of mine, this was kind of how people kind of organically, you know, came across at the time was, you know, I got this buddy does this like really quick hour workout during his lunchtime at work. And so someone was telling me about this kind of story. And then I just remember going home and kind of looking up on the internet around that time, 06 or 07, you know, what's CrossFit? I was just kind of following main site along and not really knowing what I was doing. Had a lot of exposure to obviously training and working out and fitness. And that was kind of something I was continually doing.
Was that 300 movie? Do you remember that? I remember was a big catalyst to it in a way that it's not talked about much because everyone was, I mean, you'd never seen a group of people that shredded for a movie. And then when they showed you the behind the scenes, it was at that Jim Jones gym, which I think at the time was still a CrossFit affiliate.
Yeah. What was that?
He had Mark, been at one point. What was his name? Mark Twite, who's a rock climber.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So it was around that time that, even it was getting picked up a little bit in Men's Health or Men's Fitness magazines, the training they did for 300. And I remember it had that workout, right? And I probably did it because it just, you know, you're kind of dying for some kind of structure in your life, fitness-wise. And I was just telling someone this the other day that, you know, outside of football, I kind of had enough wherewithal to know what I was doing, but it's just nice to have a game plan and a structure. And I would just remember, you know, at the time, just finding like a 4-day split in Men's Health magazine, just kind of literally pulling stuff out of magazines and putting it in a folder, being like, oh, I'll just find this and do this for a little bit. So doing a little bit, you know, I would, after work, I would run to the gym a few miles and just kind of pick some, you know, upper lower split to do and then jog home and just kind of doing that for a little bit. And it was fine, did some 5Ks. But when I found CrossFit, I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. It's something I can follow. It's just free online and just kind of figuring out, you know, in the basement of some, you know, the kind of the local global gym, I'm like, what's a thruster? And I'm like, I got metal plates on the bar and I'm doing thrusters in the basement. You know, like, oh my God, I don't even know what I look like at the time. But I mean, it was probably rough for the first few years, just not really having any coach or anyone really watching me or just kind of just being kind of young and invincible and strong. You know, you're like, I'm just going to figure this out. Right. So that was a lot of fun. When I had moved out here, you know, I was just kind of working out some local gyms, kind of doing the same thing. And then I contacted you guys because you had just started taking over at Rogue Fitness in Gahanna at the time.
Yeah, you were, I think, in our third week in that you came in. I can remember it well because one of my best friends growing up was in your elements class. So it was how we would do it then is you took three intro classes like as a group.
And Dave too?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I do. Yeah. Yeah, this is
super cool guy. Yeah. Uh-huh. And you were just like, I mean, you would do the element, like we made everyone do it. We were very like strict and on it. And he was, Dave was in awesome shape. And these other guys hadn't really been training, especially to the level he was. And he was like smashing the workouts. And then we'd let him join class after the workouts. And he was just like, is everyone who works out here like this? I'm like, no, that's probably like, you know, as soon as he figures this out, is going to be one of the top 50 guys in the world at doing this, like the second he learns how to do it. So
yeah, I think that's pretty normal. I mean, for a lot of people, even now that come into CrossFit, if you've got a little bit of background and you know, you're fairly young still, like you adapt to it pretty quickly and have some pretty good success. So yeah. Just loved it immediately. It kind of satisfied that kind of, you know, not necessarily, you know, there's a competitive aspect, but just like the structure, the community, something, you know, you were never really like, I don't know if I want to go to the gym today. Like it just, you were really motivated to do that. And there was a little that component of scoring things. So it just kind of fit. It was at the right time in my life, I found it where I just needed something like that to do.
Yep.
I think most, you know, my wife too, it's just like all these kind of former athletes in high school and college, it's like, it's still in you your whole life and you got to find some way to satisfy it. And you know, that changes as you get older, that looks differently. But, you know, most of us found CrossFit in our 20s. We're like, yeah, this is it. I can't wait to do this. So,
same.
Yeah, you know, we trained together at the gym for a little while. And then, you know, from there, had a couple opportunities to coach full-time in Columbus at a few gyms. You know, we opened up the affiliate ourselves in 2016. You know, ran that for 6 years. And here I am right now.
Yeah, so Dave's been coaching since he was he started coaching just like a day a week back at our old Rogue affiliate. And then he moved on to be the head coach at some of the bigger affiliates in Columbus. And so he's got, you know, 12 years of coaching experience on top of, you know, he was already doing it for a few years before that. And he's a level 3 trainer as well. So when you guys have him in class right away, like make sure we're respecting the guy and what he knows. He's been in the game for a long time and he didn't dive into this too much, but then he was also a 4-time regional athlete and pretty close to making the games as well. And I think the thing that was unfortunate for you is you got caught in a region where it was by far the most competitive region in the world at the time where, you know, the guys we're sending were top 10 games guys every year, if not winning. So you're dealing with like your Grahams, your Fronings, your Dan Baileys, who, you know, like one of your best years, I remember like Dan was in our region and had won the open, won the regional and then, you know, was right up there in the games as well. So it was like, you know, you were out West or something. It would have been a lot easier to walk into.
I think at the time, you know, when you're trying to look for an opportunity to get to the next level, I was never really mad about that, but you're like, man, like, you know, if this could have worked out that way or this way.
I was anywhere else in the world.
Well, it was that too, but you know, there was most, you know, and as we all know in CrossFit, especially at the competitive level, when you're getting to the games or regionals, it's not like what you can do well. It's like one or two things that you can't do well. You get really exposed to that. And I had like one or two of those things and it just, I was, you know, we were in a tough region and I was also kind of getting into it where after a couple of years and I was kind of butting up against them, like kind of in my early 30s right now. Yep. And there's like some people in their younger 20s come up. I'm like, I'm not going to really get any better right now. And I had enough injuries to my back and my body through playing sports and football. I was like, I can't take this anymore. I literally can't. It just was a few of those things. I'm like, I just kind of I still want to go hard at this and I want to enjoy it, but I'm like, I can't keep doing this anymore. I would lay in bed at night. I'm like 32 and I'm like, I am hurting everywhere right now.
Same.
I just was like, oh, I can't. Yeah. There's those points too. I was just talking to someone the other day too, that couple of the biggest points in my life where I just noticed an immediate shift in feeling better was when I was done playing football in college and in doing that, you know, I was like, oh my God, it feels good not to get hit every day.
Yep.
You know, I still love the sport, but it just was that immediate, you know, you're just getting collisions all the time and just that level of training. It was just nice to kind of relax for a little bit and just kind of be a normal person, you know, still train, still healthy and work out hard. And then you find CrossFit and you're like, I'm getting back into this thing again.
Yeah.
And it's a little, you know, you're not getting tackled, but it is, can be very hard on the, on your body. And there's a lot of volume that you need to do.
It's almost like a contact sport because of the Olympic lifting and stuff. Yeah. I mean, you're crashing over 200 pounds onto your body repetitively day in and day out.
Yeah, every sport has, you know, risks of injuries, you know, football primarily, you know, head trauma.
Yep.
You know, that's a concern, obviously, for most people, whether you're, you know, a young player in the NFL for years, we all know that at this point now, but, you know, CrossFit too, it's just like a lot of joint injuries and things like that. So I just, having started it with a little bit of, you know, stress fractures, my back, herniated discs and things like that. And, and a lot of, you know, starting, you know, early bits of arthritis, you know, getting, even if I was doing things 100% correctly, move well, it just, it, there was going to be a weakness there. And so when I kind of made the decision, not really compete anymore, I think for a year or two after I was kind of dipping my toe in the water, but let's try these open workouts.
Yeah, there they go. Yeah.
But it is really kind of an all or nothing thing. I just kind of feel like I was getting frustrated with myself and I'm like, dude, you don't expect to do really well this year. You haven't been putting in the work. You're a little bit older. You haven't really been taking it seriously. Like, there's people, you know, that are coming in now that are awesome. So once I kind of made the decision, just have fun with it and, you know, play the long game and keep yourself healthy and strong. And, you know, we're both in our 40s now, you know, just kind of try to hold on to what you got for as long as you can. And there's nothing sad about that. You
like
I said, the things change, you know, they look different over the course of your life when you're trying to, you know, be a lifelong athlete.
Dave is saying this just for people listening to this who are thinking, you know, he's not like subbing, you know, Russian swings and for cleans and things. Like I worked out with him and was just had him in class this week and I haven't really seen him training. I've actually seen some local comps and stuff and you look great. But we're in power hour class and he's back rack lunging like 350 pounds and he's doing like touch and go like burpee box jumps on a 30-inch box like after he's dragging sleds. Like he's not like, it's not like he's like,
he's not in the corner on the recumbent bike yet, you know, but,
he's doing just rebounding 30 inch box jumps at the end of the workout at 30 inches, like bouncing off the ground, like a Super Bowl. I'm like, this dude still got it. So Davis is still like holding on to what he had. And it was really cool when I was watching him. It's like, yeah, you might not do repetitively, like, you know, you're not doing like ring muscle up squat snatch wads and things like that daily, but you're maintaining like this capacity for a long time, which is so awesome with CrossFit. You know, last year I remember I'd turned 40 and I dunked a basketball out in the driveway and I was like, I can still jump as high as I used to. And it made me feel so good. That might've been the last one. My knees were sore for about 3 days after that. So that was probably about it, but I was stoked. I was like, that was so cool to be able to still do that when I'm 40. And you certainly have maintained those capacities, your muscle mass, all that stuff. And it's super cool. And what's great is to have that perspective. And like when we were young and training people, you didn't know what you didn't know. So like now we know how a 23-year-old body feels doing this, you know, maybe I wasn't 23 when I started, a little older, but like, you know how a body in its 20s feel, 30s feels, and then in your 40s, and we can, you know, it's good to have that experience with coaches because they could advise, like, you know, hey, you've got a ton of stress, like, you know, you're not sleeping as well, whatever it might be, like, you might want to pull this out for a while or whatever it is, like, you now have some experience to draw back on. Where I remember I couldn't wrap my head around the problems of a 50-year-old athlete when I was 28. I was just like, my body just does stuff that I tell it to do and it feels good the next day or it recovers, you know, and then I can put myself out there and I'm like, yeah, in 8, 10 years, I know what that's going to feel like.
Yeah, definitely so, getting older and having personal experiences and life lessons and stuff and having been around this for a while. Yeah, you can definitely, you know, use that to an advantage and not just teaching movements, but just like, what does this person need? What do these people need? Like, how can I kind of get them in a better spot in the long run? And it's, you know, what I've learned too, especially is like how much, you know, we were talking about, you just talking about something like managing stress and working out. Like sometimes working out is a nice way to combat stress, but I know that if like that's really a big part that's given me an issue in my life, like sometimes CrossFit is the last thing I want. You're already in a heightened arousal state and then you're just, like, it's just sometimes not good. It's like, hey, maybe it's a good day just to kind of lift some light weights or just go do some light aerobic work. So, you know, we'll have some different programs and there's just different ways to work out here. So just, you know, having that option to be like, hey, maybe CrossFit class isn't like what my adrenal system needs today. You know, I'm just going to do some rolling a little bit and do rollouts. So just, you know, having that perspective on things is really nice. And it's, you miss a day, you didn't go hard. That's fine. You'll be better in the long run.
To that point, I got a really nice email from a client here and she was asking a question, related directly to this, like, hey, I just switched jobs. I've got a lot of stress. Like, I missed a week of training, just asking for some tips. And it was to that point, she's right around our age. I was like, hey, a great pivot and one that I actually have made recently for those reasons. While I get just things settled down, we're going to have power hour, which you're going to be coaching a lot of. Mm-hmm. I was like, that is an easy switch. You can slow things down. It's something that you are not going to be brain fogged after. It's not going to have your nervous system just jacked. You can transition to that, lean on your diet a little bit more for, you know, results as far as like body comp. And that's going to give you a focused way to keep coming in and moving and working out without like, and you're not going to be nervous. You're not going to be like, oh no, we're squatting today. You know, you're not going to be nervous going into the workout where you might see a
CrossFit
workout.
3, 2, 1. I'm like, I'm not ready. Yes. I mean, it's ridiculous. Sometimes, like, we've been doing this for so long, and you're like, beep, beep. Like, oh my God, I better go. I better perform.
Diving into the ground right away with the burpees. The Saturday ones are what would get me throughout the years. Usually,
like, who cares? No one cares. Dude, everyone's worried about themselves. Like, it just sometimes we get so stressed.
It'd be a hero workout. I'd go out and, like, go out to dinner and have beers or something. Just waking up and I'd work out hard all week and I'd be tired, worn out, slightly hung. And just like, it's the first or second class, like 8 a.m. Beep, beep. I'm like, oh no. Here we go. Running out the door, climbing up ropes. Like this is going to be the power hour program. I'm just saying is like a great pivot. If you need some time to just calm down. And then what's great is like, I'll start itching.
Mm-hmm. For it's not, it's nice to have itching. That feeling again of, I'm like, I'm excited about
this. Is going
to
be fun. Yeah. And then I want that. Like I want to do those Metcons. And then it also keeps your body kind of guessing where like you start to feel, at least for a few weeks, you'll get beginner's gains both ways. Like you're like, oh man, I just put 20 pounds on a squat in 3 weeks. Like that feels way better because I'm resting a little more. Where then you get in there and like, CrossFit, you're like, you tighten up real quick because your body isn't used to like going real fast. Yep. And you're like, wow, I just got like a good body comp change. So, and I think like having you on board and being able to like zoom out a little bit and see that whereas like when we were younger, like the focus is getting better at the sport aspect of CrossFit. We can see it holistically. Like we know how to maybe help someone who's doing that. But we can also like help someone maybe come down that ladder, go back up it, you know, everything in between is where the experience really plays off. And like big reason why I want to have a good variety of like coaches, like when people come in here, they're going to see someone they resonate. They're going to see like, you know, Drake, Brad and Jack, like those guys are, you know, I'm going to go like gravitate towards them because I want to make quarterfinals and, you know, do well in the open. And, you know, they might see a guy like you. They're like, man, I've been doing this for a while and I want to stay really strong and fit, but I have some like other goals, maybe running or different things outside of the gym I want to do. Like I'm going to see if Dave can help me out with some of that. So it's just cool to have, like, I want to have this really well-rounded staff here. And I think, like, you're an amazing addition to that. And then bringing you in here, like, where we can talk at a little different level sometimes. And, like, mm-hmm. you know, we've been around this sport and this whole CrossFit thing and fitness thing for, you know, 20 years, you know, in some fashion, you know, whether it was us like diving in and playing the actual sports. And then we've been working in it, you know, almost 15. I think our affiliate's coming up on 15 years here pretty soon. So,
yeah, I feel like it's been nice to kind of, you know, you get a little older, you get a little wiser, you know, more perspective on stuff, but I feel like, you know, talking about, you know, young guys that want to compete and then, I feel like I've got a foot in both waters now. I can still identify with everyone that's younger, wants to compete and go hard, but I'm also identifying with a lot of people at my own gym and other gyms that are in their 50s and a little bit older, you know, like you still have a foot in both camps and I can relate to people well because you're kind of right in the middle and you kind of, if it's some of the wear and tear in your body that maybe someone who's, you know, 50 or 60 has, and it's nice to be able to kind of work with a range of people and to have that perspective and be able to give guidance and to be able to understand people in all places. Yeah, I had another thought, but I forgot what it was.
One thing that I'll come back to is, it's a blessing. It's a blessing and a curse for me is, pretty much every joint from ankles, knees, hips, wrists, elbows, shoulders, every joint I've tweaked in some way or fashion. And also got it treated by our friends at Affiliate. So when some, and no like movements they've told me to do and how to like modify and things like that. So it's like that perspective really helps me when I'm in class and someone's like, oh, my shoulder hurts in this way. And I'm like, okay, here's how we're going to modify that. I didn't have that in my toolbox before I had taken that injury.
Yeah. You kind of feel like an armchair psychologist at the time, an armchair, you know, PT, like I'm not an expert. I kind of might know what's going on. But I'm going to refer you out to this person, that person, if I don't feel like, it's beyond my capacities. But, you know, I also don't think it's like, you know, this idea that, you know, CrossFit's dangerous has been around for a very long time, you know, since they did those studies and things like that. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. I think a lot of the things that have happened to, you know, you and I over the years are just because we were stupid or they were, you know, we were taking it in a competitive way. And some stuff, like I said, the mileage I put on my body through, you know, playing football for 12 or 13 years certainly didn't help it. But I want to be able to take that, you know, some of the mistakes that I made, and even some of that was even in the last, you know, few years, maybe right? You know, you just, sometimes we're kind of the victim of our own kind of like ambitions to kind of still hold on to being an athlete, you know, having trouble with my hip lately and things like that. So some of these things like can be avoided. There's no reason necessary at some point to do the amount of volume or things that we need to do or people think they need to do or rush into quickly or, you know, skip past certain progressions. So it's having that kind of been burned a few times through my own stupidity that you can be like, all right, no, I know where you want to go. We can still get there, but like, let's make sure we do these steps or let's watch how fast we try to progress just so, you know, you can go to the games if you want to in 2 years. Like sometimes like slow it down. What's the rush? Yeah, that doesn't mean that, like, I take things, you know, slow. Like you said, you know, I still want to lift heavy and push hard. I think it's just a matter of kind of figuring out, you know, where you're at in life, what are your needs, what are your goals, and just trying to, like, sometimes be like, what's the hurry? Just, you don't have to do everything in one day. You know, you don't have to get something by next week, so.
Yeah. Trying to hack CrossFit caused a lot of problems for me because you would – what I would do, and it worked well for me, and I tried to like almost outthink the whole thing, but I would pour a whole lot of energy into the movements that were going to net you a good result time-wise on workouts that were, you would maybe see in like competitions, like ring muscle-ups and Olympic weightlifting and handstand push-ups and walking on your hands, double unders. But what would happen to me is I would get these overuse injuries because I'm like, I've done handstand pushups 3 times in a week. I would never program that for a group of people because I'm like, I'm going to hurt their necks. I'm going
but,
to.
But you're fine. But you're fine if you do it right.
Exactly.
I'm just test lapping stuff. It's all good.
Or Olympic lift over and over and over again, you know, and like these, like in this progressive way that never stops. And it's like, yeah, my knees, hips, and back, like, are like, screw you, dude. Like, stop doing that. Like, and if I look at like a traditional CrossFit like program, like the ones I'm planning for people, they're not going to overload a joint or a part if you're doing it right. And so if you follow that, you'll stay healthy and super strong. You're just not going to say, you're not going to stay at like this, you know, we'll call them like wave three adaptations, where it's like the first wave is just like, you know, getting like the barbell where it's like wiggling, you know, like to straighten out. And then like the second wave adaptation is like, you know, say you start and you get it like your bar path clear. And the second wave, like now you're pretty good at benching. Say you can do like 225. And then that third wave, like you've got like, you're squeezing yourself into like a sausage suit and like doing like 400 pound bench presses. Like that doesn't make you a better athlete. That makes you a specialist at bench press, but you need to be a specialist at all these things like that in CrossFit competition to be good at it. But that's not really healthy for the most of the general population if you're not like resting a ton and doing like ice baths and all that kind of stuff. So once I figured that out, when I was like, I was still kind of trying to train like that, like you said, after I was done trying to compete in the sport. And then that's when I really just started like getting hurt. And I'm like, I kind of had to back off for a year, reassess how I did it. And then I found a great rhythm for, you know, another 4 or 5 years. And I feel like your body changes a little bit every, I think it's about every 4 or 5 years, where you just need to like reassess, like, okay, I can handle this amount of loading or this kind of stress on it in this way about this many times a week or a month. And so about every 5 years, I've noticed the last 15 years, my body goes through a bit of a shift, and I've gone through another one here in the last like year or so, where I'm just reassessing, and it's fine. And like, I'll figure it out again. I had a great like roll for about 5 years, ran into some issues, and now I'm like, okay, I'm finding it again. But
I can feel that. I feel like I'm at a point right now where things are going fine. I don't really have any specific goals, but there is part of me that's kind of like, what's my rhythm right now?
Yep.
You know, having like generally back's fine. Some of the things that bother me when I was competing aren't really much of an issue anymore. But just trying to find the balance of, cause I like to stay active. I like, I like to do a lot, right? You know, and sometimes that feels good on a day, but then you're like, oh crap. I feel like, you know,
do you still bike?
Yeah, I bike when I can. You know, I like to run, you know, a few times a week if I can too, or at least, you know, whether it's long distance or some sprints or things like that. But just, you know, my mind wants to do it and thinks it can handle that all in a day. And it's just sometimes the next day you're like, oh, I'm kind of a little like kind of creaky. And you're like, well, I need to, you know, it's kind of insidious because like your mind wants to do it. And to some respects you can do the work in the day. Just, we all know, you know, sometimes this recovery gets a little tougher. Mm-hmm. So yeah, finding that rhythm that I can still feel like I'm challenging myself and I'm still, you know, improving in certain areas while being able to recover well. So we'll see. You know, I think it's nice to have, you know, without really feeling like you need to compete, just to have some little carrot or some kind of goal, and it doesn't have to be getting stronger. I mean, you could maintain strength and just improve certain flexibilities or mobility, or just increase your aerobic capacity. I mean, there's lots of little things you can do without really putting yourself at any physical risk.
I have a client who, and he's good at hanging movements, and he's a 45-year-old guy, Pete. And we've been working a couple times a week on ring muscle ups, and his shoulders aren't super flexible, and he's always been able to do them, you know, with the giant kip and kind of like landing in the muscle up, but he has to catch it low, like more like towards his waist. So like, he's like a swing, like launch, boom, lands in it. And I'm like, hey, like, let's make this a more sustainable practice. I want you to be able to do muscle ups when you're 50 on the ring still. And he really, like, that's his thing. He loves being able to do those. And so we've been working on it, and he had never learned on the false grip like we learned when we were like starting on it.
There wasn't that. They didn't make rigs with single bars do bar muscle ups because it was a, you know, your local welder put it on the wall for you. You know what I mean? This wasn't really a thing. So we all learned on rings, you know, just kind of.
So he's learning. I'm teaching him how to do false grip muscle ups, and he can do them now. And we're working close to, you know, getting up to a strict one. Yep. And I'm like, this is a really cool, like, he's not getting like, it's not trying to get like faster or stronger or like do a ton of work real fast. He's learning, he's deconstructing this movement and taking months to get good at it. And those are the kind of goals as we get older, like that we can look to, you know, to stay sustainable, to keep you engaged and having fun with all this training and like, and doing stuff like that. So to your point, like, I think that's what I'm looking to create in this gym where it's like, we're going to change that mantra wall to, you know, hard is what makes it great, which you, I think when we put that up, you, you had a nice little whip in there. Like, that's what she said.
I mean, that's a given.
But I think we're going to put find your flow on there, and that, and it might change from time to time, like with our ideas and things. I want to create a facility and a place with coaches, with programs, with training and all the things we do here all under one roof. So we can find our flow with our training, and it's going to change. It's going to change and evolve, and it's going to constantly change and evolve. And I want people to be able to find their flow, find their guy, find their coach, find their class program, or use the open gym as a bridge between them to be able to find that flow. So that's what we're really like trying to work on doing. And it's something that, again, it needs reevaluated and reassessed every few years for all of us where I'm like, okay, this training style really worked for me for a while. I'm going to change it up a little bit.
I think it's natural. Like just people evolve, you know, things evolve, and just, you don't want to get too complacent and just kind of keep doing the same thing over and over again. Cause you said you have new ideas. There's new ways of doing things that are maybe a little bit better. I think it's totally natural. I think it's healthy to kind of, I mean, probably most organizations kind of reassess, hey, what's our mission here? What are we trying to do? Yeah. What's the vibe? You know, even if it is a gym and it always will be a gym, like, you know, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Just trying to just kind of listen and just kind of always checking in with that.
Yep. I always wanted like consistency. I sent like a newsletter out about this a little bit. Like consistency is like a hallmark here. Like our class schedule never changes. We're open every day except Christmas to some little class or something. We're always doing something here. But evolution and change needs to happen from time to time, and it needs to consistently, like, you know, you need consistency to gain trust, but at the same token, like, if you do what you always done, you're going to get what you've always got. So we want to keep growing and doing things that keep us engaged and keep the clients engaged, so we're not getting bored with it and we're having fun and we're offering new things. And so, you know, bringing in you who has, you know, 12 years of experience also at some really big and cool affiliates that have had, like, including your own, that had like different ideas, different programs, different things that have worked really well. Mm-hmm. You're going to be able to bring those ideas like, man, we did this 5-6 years ago. It was a hit. Or I might have an idea like, hey, what do you think about us trying this? You're like, dude, we did that, and it was like the biggest flop that we ever did. And you're going to have that, like, you know, in your toolbox, like something that I'm not going to have that experience. And it's great to have that. Whereas like we have a lot of coaches here, which is great that like they've came up through the ranks of like being members, and now they're at like
too many insiders, an outsider, disruptor.
So they can, you know, they know what they know through being here. Maybe they've been at another gym, but you've been around for a while. You were here. Like I actually, like, I'll tell people, cause I'm like, oh, they're like, oh, I heard there's like going to be a new coach. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like,
it's weird. Sabbatical for 12 years.
Yeah. I'm like, it's weird to say, I'm like, he's not totally new. He was here, but like, it was almost like a different thing. We still have some members from there, which is cool. Back at the old Rogue and that, but, it was on the other side of town. It was like two gyms ago, basically. So he was here for the start of it. He got to see like the evolution of, you know, the whole process, like, you know, he saw the gym when we had, when Dave started, we had a noon and a 5:30 class. And then we had elements at 11 and at 6:30. So we ran four sessions. Two were intros, two were actual classes. Mm-hmm. So our whole membership had to fill up two classes, and they weren't big classes.
And you guys on the gym, and Kate had just come there just as a member, right, to try it out?
Kate?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She came in 2011. So she was a member. Yeah. Spring of 2011. Yeah. From Lifetime. Mm-hmm. And she worked there for another 2 years after she was at the gym. Yeah.
Dating and marrying your members. I get it.
You did the same thing.
That's true. I didn't even think about that. I was going to give you a burn, but that happened to me. It's funny how many, you know, I've talked with Mitch about that too. Like how many people have gotten married through his gym or just various gyms. Tons. I mean, sometimes they come in dating, sometimes they meet there. It's a great place to, you know, use exercise and fitness as an excuse
almost
to,
all my coaches,
to socialize and hang out and get to know each other. I mean, it's great.
Joey met Maria, who he's married to. Andy met Lindsay. I mean, Arlie and Ariel. Dan did have his wife, where they were dating coming into this. But I would say, like, more people than not, like Megan and Nick, like most of our staff here actually has met. And so I don't know if you've ever seen this, and like, were you on the CrossFit affiliate, like, bolt, like, just Facebook group at all? Have you been on that?
Which
it's
one?
Just on, it's just on like Facebook. It's just like CrossFit.
Like global affiliates or like the Columbus one?
Global one.
Okay. I don't think so.
It's just like it's just a Facebook group, but people mm-hmm. will always ask, like, they'll be like freaking out. They're like, I explicitly put a rule that coaches cannot like date a member. And they're like, you can tell they're like shakingly furious. Like I'm, thinking of like calling the police, or I mean, they're like, really? I'm like, what? I'm like, you can't stop people from being people. Like, obviously, like if you have a coach who is like,
you hate love, come on, man.
Yeah. No. Like screwing around and like, yeah, yeah. you know, playing girls out and whatever, yeah. like that is a problem, mm-hmm. but you can't stop like, oh, I have a 25-year-old coach and he met his 23-year-old girlfriend in CrossFit class. They're not allowed to date. Yeah. Like good luck. Good luck stopping that. Like,
yeah, I think those, it's kind of a case-by-case situation. If someone's kind of abusing that position, 100%. For sure. Yeah. yeah, if it's a you know, an honest relationship, that's one thing. Like I said, you don't want to get in the way of people, you know, meeting each other if it's something good. I think someone was joking about it one time. Was it? I forgot who was telling me this, but they were like, if you guys break up and she leaves, you're paying her membership.
Ralph.
Yes.
Yeah.
He made that joke. Yes. yes.
It wasn't a joke.
That was like his rule, right?
He had it as a rule.
If they can't stay around because you break up and this is awkward, you're going to pay her membership for the remainder of the contract.
so he's referring the guy who he founded CrossFit New Albany. We're not throwing him under the bus. I thought it was kind of funny. And like no,
it's funny. Yeah.
And it might have been, it might have been like, started by me, I don't know, back when I first was working for him, you know, 17 years ago when I was a 25-year-old trainer. It was after that, I remember one of his coaches, I think it was Keith, mm-hmm. They made a rule like, hey, if you're dating someone and like you guys break up and they leave the gym, you have to pay their membership until you find someone to replace them.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. I'm like, ah, that's not a bad rule. Like, fair enough. Like, he's allowing you to, like, date, but if you're running people out of there, like, you better find a replacement for them. And, yeah. and because that is your fault and you're costing the business some money, obviously.
It's funny. Speaking of Keith, I sent him, you know, I'll shoot him a text or message now and again to touch base, or if I see something funny, you know, I'll send it to him. I, you know, he left for the Fire Academy probably what, 2015 or 16 around. Yep. So he trained for, you know, as a personal trainer, and he worked across the gyms, you know, in Columbus for a while. And, you know, if I see some kind of funny, like personal trainer meme, and he'll still get, I'll send it to him. I'm like, oh wait, you don't have to worry about this anymore, do you?
Yep.
I sent him one the other day. He wrote back. It was funny.
Yeah, he was part of this gang of urban active trainers that all turn into CrossFit coaches. Urban Active sold to LA Fitness, which is now like Esporta or yes, I don't know.
Esporta, yeah.
But what happened with Urban Active is they had some like super shady practices, not just with
you couldn't get out of your contract.
You couldn't get out of contracts. And they were screwing like nationwide. They were like, I remember Keith telling me, like, you know, he would do, it was like a lot of half hour sessions. Every week he was like five short. And they just like wouldn't pay it out. And then people were all like, they'd get locked into like year long or 2 year long, like personal training contracts, 3 to 5 year gym contracts where like, you know, you had to like fake your own death to get out of them.
Something. Yeah. Considerably like that. Yeah.
I remember in the early days of the old Rogue gym, it was when all that had happened. And like, you know, we just had like a standard membership contract. It was like a page long. People are reading it and they would freak out. They're like, I don't know if I want to sign this. I'm like, listen, man, you don't have to go up a corporate ladder. You're calling my cell phone to get out of this. Like it's something happens. Let me know. Like we can figure it out. Like you don't have to call like a call center in India to like get this thing.
Yeah. And that's nice. I mean, it's nice to have a, obviously just a small, like, you know, not necessarily this place small, but just like a local gym with like the owners right there that you can talk to. You don't feel like you're going to be like, I can never get out of this thing. Right. Yeah. We want you to commit to it and, you know, be in it for the long haul and really, you know, find your groove here. But yeah, it's, you know, sometimes it's people are afraid to get involved with something like some of those gyms back and they're like, oh my God, I'm going to have to, like I said, fake my own death to get out of this contract. Like that sucks.
They give you like hardcore, like, used car salesman tactics to get you to sign things.
I'm done.
I had a buddy who was
just cancel your car. Yeah. Something, whatever. It might take that.
I had a buddy who was like, he worked for one of those places and they would sell memberships out of like a modular trainer. He's like, I can get you in selling memberships. We pre-sell them. We do. And like, he was like telling me the stuff they did. And I'm like,
just a different model than what we do here.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Different model.
We're not doing that, but the gym business has evolved a lot since then. Like that was just like old school Globo gyms. They literally had 3 and 5 year gym contracts, which I'll joke about. I'm like, let's drop the people's payments. You know, let's go 10. Let's go fit. Let's put it like, let's make it a mortgage.
Yeah.
A 15 year mortgage gym contract.
You ready to sign your life away here at this gym?
You start off paying like a really low price and then it backfill, you know, you give them the arm, like those mortgages that like destroyed the economy where
it is nice though. I think those gyms have their value and stuff just because, you know, if you know what you're doing, you know, like Chelsea, you know, has a Sport them, yeah, like membership, yeah, you know, yeah, just absolutely. Using it when you need it. Yes. But it's just nice to see a lot of kind of boutique or smaller local gyms open up in various areas. And even if it's not CrossFit, I don't care. As long as it's doing something good and positive and you're moving around and you enjoy it, you know, and it's a good community, like get into whatever you like.
It creates
a culture.
It does. And I listened to a podcast. It was awesome. It was about peak performance aging. And he talked about a few different factors. It was like doing like novel movements, having like a social aspect.
Yeah.
And he was talking about all these things and he did it with park skiing. It was like some sort of skiing with tricks and things. And he had like learned how to do it in his 50s and with a group of people in it and doing all these things created a flow state, which is like, everyone's got into it. Like when you're training, you feel good. Like, you're just cruising, like everything's working. So there was like, I don't know, a dozen factors. And it was really cool when he went through all of them. Coming to a CrossFit gym or a gym like this, a boutique fitness place, it checked off like 8 out of the 12 boxes, like right away. It was like, you know, you're doing different movements. There's a social aspect to it because you're in a group class. It was all these different things. Getting your legs stronger. It was like this weird psychological thing. Like if you get your lower body strong, confidence goes up more than anything else when your legs are stronger, because it's like an evolutionary thing where your legs can get you from one place to another.
Yeah.
So it was like, there was a whole bunch of factors, but I remember thinking like, oh man, without even knowing it, like these gyms really do that. So, yeah.
Flow is such an awesome concept. And I think it was kind of considered a very woo-woo thing for a while. And part of it still is, but there's a lot of like science going into like, what is this day? Cause it's something that happens in the brain, whether you are a engineer, you're an athlete, whatever you do. I mean, it's kind of that state where it feels like pure bliss, but you've earned it. Right. So mm-hmm. I've heard kind of people talk about it in different ways, you know, like I get there a lot of times if I'm working on a painting or drawing or doing something creative, and it doesn't always happen. Sometimes it's just like, oh, this kind of sucks. It's not going the way I want, but you get into that groove where it's like everything, the outside world just kind of shuts off. Right. Mm-hmm. And you're in a balance between the effort you put in and your skill. And there's just the right amount of challenge, right? It's not too hard. And I'm just good enough where it's kind of meets in this middle. And I'm like, feel like I'm just going. Right. Yep. So, you know, for me, I get that a lot with being creative, whether it's just kind of tinkering around the garage or doing something or working on a painting. But I think, you know, to your point, you know, with exercise, I always told people that's kind of one of the biggest things I like about CrossFit and exercise. It's like for this moment, you know, for this hour, at least the time during the workout, there's really nothing else that matters.
Yep.
You know, and you get in that state where you're kind of physically exhausted helps get you there too, but it's just kind of like you're very present. And that is just harder and harder to do these days. You know, it takes, meditating or just kind of putting down your phone. There's times that we always talk about kind of like, you know, taking a few minutes to just check out and do deep breaths. There's all these ways we're trying to find a like way to shut out the outside world, but or just quiet things down. And yeah, it may not be quiet in the gym. There's just a racket going on, but just like internally, it's like, you know, yesterday with the sled, it's just like one foot in front of the other.
Yep.
That's all I'm concerned about right now. That's it.
Yep.
That's a great place to be in, you know? So that's why I think a lot of us kept on coming back to, I'm just kind of itchy to do it kind of again, you know, you'll get there. Like, you know, it's nice to like lift weights and do certain stuff, but there is a little bit of that aspect for me that I've always liked of just being very present in that physically duress state.
Oh yeah.
It's so cool.
I know exactly what you mean. I think that is, a good place to leave and like kind of stick a fork in this, just for time reasons. You guys are going to see Dave starting here regularly in the new 6 a.m. Power Hour classes that we're going to be running at noon Power Hour. And then he's going to be sprinkling all over the place in CrossFit classes as well. Especially while myself and Brad are going on some vacations here coming up, you'll see him all over the place until he falls into a real regular schedule. So look forward to seeing Dave in class, and you're going to be seeing him working out in class with you.
He's like, hurry up and get in here. I got to go on vacation. Just get started. He's like, I need some coverage. Can you start? Just joking.
But yeah, I think this is a good conversation where you guys can like get to know him and his personality a little bit. And, he's going to be doing these podcasts. So I'm going to be like trying to get ideas from him. And then if you guys want to get a hold of Dave directly, I just set up an email for him. It's dave@crossfitgrandview.com. And then he's got an Instagram as well. So if you want to drop him a message or a DM, he's
going to do better on that.
Yeah. Don't check it too much.
No, I do, but I'm like an influencer or anything. I don't know. Post much because I just feel like there's a lot of cool things I'd like to say or do, but I just never, that's not the era we necessarily grew up in with being raised by the internet and just like having to show everything like that. So it just, sometimes I feel silly doing it sometimes.
There's like people who I grew up with, like to that point who I'm like, man, if they were born 10 years later, they'd have 500,000 followers and then they have 500, you know, it's just like, cause they just didn't click into that era of it. But so guys, I'll reach out and you guys will see, you'll see Dave around and I'm pumped, man. So catch you guys on the next one.
Thank you.